It's likely that if Jesus were living among us today, he'd be considered a criminal. Everyone would be mad at him, everybody in our present day. The Food and Drug Administration for turning water into wine without a license. The EPA for killing fig trees. American Medical Association for practicing medicine without a license. Department of Health for asking people to open graves, for raising the dead, and for feeding 5,000 people in unsanitary conditions. National Education Association for teaching without a certificate. OSHA for walking on water without a life jacket and other unsafe boating practices. SPCA for driving hogs into the sea. National Board of Psychiatrists for giving advice on how to live a guilt-free life. The National Organization of Women for not choosing a female apostle. And the Interfaith Movement for condemning all other religions. And as we look at our sermon, or our notes, our text today, which is John 6, verses 1 through 15, we're going to read about one of those miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. And let's read that text now. It's in your handout at the top. And we'll stand for the reading of this morning's text. John 6, verses 1 through 15, and once again, reading in Jesus' name. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, This is truly the prophet who has come to the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the scriptures that we can that are so freely available to us. And Lord, we just thank you for what you demonstrated during your time here on earth, and for the wonders and miracles that you accomplished, proving that you truly were the Son of God, the one person out of the billions and billions of people who have lived, the one person who could accomplish these things. And now, Lord, I just thank you again. And may my words be pleasing to you. I just pray this in your name. Amen. Before I get into, we look at this, and also with earlier in his ministry, the turning water to wine. You know, the miracles that he accomplished were things that were created. You know, a lot of us think we can do some good things. We call ourselves creative, but no one other than Christ has ever actually created a substance. Sometimes we shape that substance into something different, or we can do things with the things we're given, but we don't actually create matter. And we think of Jesus, you know, Jesus is the living Word, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he could create baskets upon baskets of food out of just a few loaves and a couple of fish. So we look at this, it's a demonstration of his creative power. And then this morning I was thinking about the crowd that gathered. And when you look at verse 2, it says, where are we at? Then a great multitude followed him because they signed his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. I think the people that followed him, I have to say most of them were probably just following him around because of the things they had heard about him, but possibly not being true believers. Because we look at John 6:66 later on, same chapter. I'll read 65 too. I don't have this in the notes. I just thought of this morning. And he said, "Before I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And then it goes on where Peter says, "To whom shall we go?" But it tells me that many of the people who followed were following him and gathering where he was, did so out of curiosity, but not out of a true belief of who he is. And I'm wondering if, as we go later in the chapter, if some of these same people that were fed on that mountainside are the same people that deserted him later on. So today, we are either in need or will be in need at some point in our lives. And this passage tells us that he is ready to meet our needs. That doesn't mean, the word there is needs, not wants. He is ready to meet our needs. You know, there may be things that we want in our fleshly desires, but the wants are not always needs. Where Jesus is, there are miracles. And reading verses 1 and 2 again, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And you know, when Jesus walked this earth, especially in his 3 years of training the disciples and doing his miracles and giving and telling his parables, he was in the miracle working business. He still works miracles. The miracle of salvation, if we accept that offer of salvation, that is a working of a miracle in our lives. But I know that, and you have too, I'm sure, you've experienced things that are beyond coincidence. Gail and I have had a couple of experiences, and one was just recently about the, Brett having his tooth pulled and the costs that go along with that. And the next day, we experienced we received some money from our land rent that was above and beyond, which is about what the cost of that procedure was. Less than 24 hours later, that happened. And Brett knows I'm talking about him. We experience these things. And we need to be aware that some things are not always a coincidence. And then we also see in this passage that Jesus desires to spend time with people. Verse 3 says, "And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples." Can you imagine the teaching and all the things they learned and all the things that they may not have understood at the time? Jesus spent time with them explaining what's going on. They didn't understand at the time. But since they had learned these things, when that day came, when Christ rose from the dead, they realized what the teaching was all about. And we need to look into the teaching and believe, because this resurrection and his ascension has already happened. We just need to believe. He's paid the price. I don't know, do we sometimes tend to think that, I don't know if we think that God is too busy for our problems, or if our problems are minor and he's not gonna attend to them. But we are told in Scripture that that Jesus, God, loves us. We are his children, and he cares for us. And God desires, as we study and as we spend time in prayer, to sit as he talks about here. He sat with his disciples. He will, metaphorically, I guess, he will sit with us. We can commune with him. And we need to realize that when he talks about sitting, he sits with his disciples. Our sitting and waiting on him is important. God is always standing. He's in control of each situation in our lives. And Jesus not only knows the problem, he also knows the solution. You know, we read verses 4 and 6, and Jesus sees the multitudes, and of course he knows what's going to happen. He's all-knowing. But now the Passover, reading verses 4 through 6. "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." So, you know, we know that Jesus knows all, all-knowing, all-powerful. Our problems don't take him by surprise. He sees the future. He knows the past. He knows the present. And what, I don't know what the right term is, but what rocks our world, or what makes us uneasy and unsteady in our lives, God saw it coming. He knows our problems. And since we know that he is the creator and we trust that, he can also sustain us through our difficult times. And you know, you look at verses 7 through 9, and I guess I can compare this to, sometimes we feel like we don't have a lot to give. We don't feel like our talents are adequate to do accomplish much. But then Jesus can take a little, and some people have are more blessed with different talents than others, but we all have something. Jesus can take a little and make a lot. And reading verses 7 through 9, Philip answered him, 200 denarii. Now, I've done some reading. 200 denarii would be about 8 months' wages. And possibly this is what the disciples had. Maybe they had a treasury. And maybe this is what they had. And he said, well, this 200 denarii, it's not enough to feed all these people. It's not even enough that every one of them could have a little. But then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Now in our Monday, Thursday program, I have the privilege of being Andrew. Now I think about Andrew in this, just reading this sentence here, and I think about Andrew. So maybe the other disciples were gathered around Jesus. My goodness, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with all these people? How are we going to feed them? Did Andrew go out and into the crowd and search out someone who might have been able to provide something? And he came back with a little boy with the 5 loaves and fish. Well, this is what we got. And I'm guessing the barley loaves were probably almost like what we have, hardtack or something. Who knows what they were? 2 little fish, maybe they're like sardines, I don't know. But it was basically nothing. But evidently Andrew found this boy, or this boy came to Andrew, and here, this is what I have. This is, you know, this was the lunch I brought, but I'm willing to share with whoever. Maybe I can help one other person or 2 other people. So he said, there's a lad here with 5 barley loaves, excuse me, and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And we think about the instances in Scripture where God has taken a little bit and made a bunch out of it. He took Moses' rod or his stick and made it. He made that a lot. Moses used that to serve. He took David's small stone and killed a giant. There's other instances. But we live in a society that teaches us, well, if we're going to accomplish a lot, we have to have a lot. And this teaches us that God can use little, and what we have in comparison to many others isn't much. But we can use what we have if we're willing to dedicate it to the Lord to accomplish big things. But we have to do our part. In verse 9 again, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And as I said before, that kid gave everything he had. I'm sure when he was there, he had the clothes on his back and 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what he had. But we have to abide in Christ and listen to him and offer what we have. Or if we don't, we can do nothing. And we have to trust enough to give Jesus the loaves and fish. Give it to him. Let him use it. Use what we have to his glory. And then verse 10 says, and I'm going to compare that here, and you'll have it in your notes, to Psalm 23, verse 2. He says, "Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And then we read in Psalm 32, verse 2, the part of the verse there, he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Let's not panic over this. Just let the people sit down, and we'll deal with it. So it's a little bit of a metaphor for that God wants us to be able to have peace and rest in our times of need. And as we talked about last week, even in our times of trouble, when we don't always feel, our feelings are not feelings of happiness, we can still have peace and rest in him and experience his joy. And as I said last week, joy and happiness are not always the same thing. Matthew 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So he's telling us that, we're human. We have cares, we have worries, we have anxieties. But during those times, we need to We need to look to the Lord, and we need to remember where our hope and rest on the truth that he has provided us in his word. And when we talk about, we have to do our part. We read verse 11 through 13. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So I suppose at this point he still has, it's just the five loaves and two fish at this point, I think. Distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples, then the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. So this miracle, it says the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. And I have no idea how this happened. But those loaves provided the food for all those people. And I don't think there was all of a sudden, after Jesus had prayed over the food and given thanks, I don't think at that moment there were hundreds of loaves and thousands of fish. I think that as they went out, they just kind of kept multiplying and it never ran out. But the disciples, Jesus didn't just give thanks and all of a sudden the food showed up in people's hands. That didn't happen. The disciples had to distribute them. They had to go out into the crowd and spread and distribute the food among people. And this tells me that we need to take God's blessings. I don't know if I'm carrying this too far, but the things that he has blessed us with, and he expects us to carry it to those around us, and it will multiply. And I'm talking about sharing the gospel. And Jesus made so much that they were filled. They were filled. All they wanted to eat, they had everything at that moment that they needed. Jesus had provided that. And there were things left over. And Psalm 23, the second part of verse 5 says, "My cup runs over." And one person wrote, "Jesus fills the cup so much we can drink from the saucer." Have you ever had a waitress come to you in a restaurant, there's a cup and saucer, and they fill your cup and they pour a little bit too much and it gets in your saucer? So there's an abundance. And Jesus will bless us abundantly if we only trust and obey. So what is your need today? And I would say that, if you haven't accepted the gift that Christ has given us, the gift he has offered, all we need to do is receive. That's our greatest need. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't accepted God's gift of salvation, the cleansing of us of our sins, that's our biggest need. But there are other needs in our lives. We need to sit down and be patient and look for God's leading in our lives as we... And this stuff is easy to... I shouldn't say easy. It's easy to say, but also hard to do. As much as we try to be like Christ, we'll never accomplish that, of course. And we'll have trials and tribulations in our lives, sometimes of our own doing. Sometimes things just kind of happen to us. But we need to work through those things and trust Christ to give us his peace and to look forward to our eternity with him if we have accepted that gift. Now, Lord, we thank you for this day again, and we thank you for the worship service this morning, and I just pray that everything that has been said and done here this morning has been pleasing to you, and to you, you have earned earned every bit of the glory that we can give to you in your name. Amen. Okay. Turning your hymnals now to page number 84.